If you haven't taken the elements now, why don't you do that and let me pray for us? I am to remember you and your love for us as we share in the bread and the wine and the juice, Lord. Thank you so much. As we remember you, we are remembered, reconnected to you. We love you, Lord, and we celebrate you today. In your name we pray. Everyone said? Amen. Amen. We finally got our gremlins worked out. Hallelujah. That's like a first ever. Happy Sunday, everybody. We're continuing to make our way through the Sermon on the Mount in here on Sunday mornings. Last week, we did a joint service with Emmaus Lutheran, and that was, if you didn't make it, that was a, just want to do that again, so we're planning that again in the fall. That was fun, and I did preach in a robe if you weren't here. I'm sorry, that might have been a one-time-only affair, so, woo, and those things are hot, all right? But today, we were going to look at the Sermon on the Mount. It's Jesus' best stories and teachings and one-liners. And today's section focuses on the topic of prayer, thus my title, you know how I love these, Living on a Prayer, which is a tip of the hat to an 80s rocker named Bon Jovi, okay? So going a blast of my past. Let's 5 through 13, and this is Jesus talking. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, be different. Go into your room, close the door. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, don't keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. I don't know if that's just true of pagans. I know a lot of pastors that kind of fit into that little category. Need before you even ask him. This then is how you should pray. And this is the famous Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us to debts or our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us or are in debt to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And some versions say, to you be the power and the glory forever. It's such an interesting topic. I was having so much fun prepping this message, and Caitlin's actually going to do the last point of this message today. But prayer is a topic that floods us with so many thoughts and questions, things like God, and then if you're a good little boy, give you out, or is prayer like a magic incantation where you have to say just the right words or God won't hear you? I had a friend that had never prayed in public before, and they asked him to speak at a huge Young Life rally, and he was so nervous, he started the prayer off, "Dearly beloved, we are gathered here." And then he went, "Oh," and his favorite expletive came out. And I go, "Yeah, you didn't get the words right at all." But we have pressure on ourselves. We think we have to get the words just right sometimes, or God will ignore our prayer. Or does prayer even work? I want to put up this bit of honesty for a young man. God seems to be working in my friends' lives, but me, he mostly ignores. Do you ever feel like that with your prayers? Like you pray them and God's ignoring them? And then there's this. Is prayer just for emergencies? Like my favorite new country artist, I know, forgive me, I don't know what happened, but I listen to country music every once in a while, and he has a famous song right now. It's called Favor, and the lyrics go, "I only talk to God when I need a favor. God, I need a favor." And that's what the song's about. The song is about using prayer for emergencies. There are so many thoughts, so many questions. I get it. I've been following the Lord for 50 years now, and I'm still flooded with questions about prayer. But today I want to share just a couple of quick insights, because I keep praying even though I have the questions and the thoughts. And I hope they'll encourage you to keep praying even if you have the questions and the thoughts and the confusion. Insight number one, prayer is about hallowing. In the open line of this prayer, Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And we all know what that means. You pray it and you think, how lovely and poetic. Well, what's the whole hallowing thing? So I did a lot of research on that this week. To hallow means to value, to set apart, to treat something and declare something as special or sacred. We humans are doing it. We hallow events with the presence of special rituals. Like when you're at a wedding, there's the rituals of the kiss and the vows and the rings. That's how we hallow that ceremony. We hallow tragedies with pop-up. It's quite moving, actually. This is Pre's Rock. Can I pop that up on the screen? This is Pries Rock over in the University area, and this is actually the rock that he crashed his car into. It was a tragic event. He died almost 50 years ago now. And yet people from all over the world, athletes, especially when the Olympic trials are here, will come and they'll drop off their jerseys and everything. And it's a shrine to the tragedy of a loss of a really unique runner. This is hallowed ground in Eugene. And also, we hallow different events. We hallow holidays. We hallow those using funny hats and robes and speeches. We hallow birthdays by having parties and candles. We hallow all kinds of things. Why do we hallow? Because we crave knowing that some things are not ordinary, that they're without hallowing, one day just blends into another and our life becomes the same old every day. Which is scary because that's a recipe for despair in your life when your life is same old, same old. Well, Jesus teaches us that hallowing, when we pray, we hallow the name of God. In other words, we recognize that God's not ordinary, that God is holy, that God is extraordinary, and we start to see God as more than we saw him before. Yeah, this God's in our imaginations. This God that we pray to lets us know that we have nothing to prove, but a lot to do. This God that we pray to can't be defined, only experienced. This God we pray to is more, and we want more of this God. We hallow this God. And here's the cool thing that I noticed. Right after Jesus teaches us to pray, hallowed be, he teaches us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is significant. First, we hallow God's name, and then we partner in bringing heaven to earth. We partner with God in doing that. Desmond Tutu said it best when he said, God's agents of transfiguration to change the ugliness of the world. Don't you want to change the world? It's ugly. There's so much ugliness right now. I'm taking another news fast because I'll watch the news for a couple weeks and I go, I've had it. I'm depressed everything. I have to take a news fast because of the ugliness that is out there. Do you want to change the world? Great. First step, hallow the name of God. Because when you value God, you'll value what God's up to in the world, and you'll... Second thing, praying is about connecting. Prayer is a great way to connect to other humans and to God. Let's talk about those two things, starting with people. When we pray for other people, we're actually connected to them in a very real way through God. Because the same God that is operative in your life is spiritual connection that happens when we pray for people. Prayer is way more, if I was to pray for my wife, it's way more than me saying nice things for her or about her to God. It is to be with her in a spiritual yet very real way. I'm taking news fast right now. This is why when people use the phrase, our thoughts and prayers are with you, it makes me so angry. I get so mad. I never want to read that phrase again. Okay, and the problem isn't with prayers or kind thoughts. There's nothing wrong with the dislocation between prayer and connection, between prayer and action. Politicians and people in power and famous people all the time, if a tragedy happens, they respond by posting online on social media, well, our thoughts and prayers. Don't do anything to help the people that are experiencing the tragedy, nor do they bring about change, which is in their power to do, to prevent a tragedy like this from happening in the future. So I just don't want to hear that phrase anymore, and I know you well, and you're going to send your emails to me from now on and say, well, our thoughts and prayers, okay? But to pray is to really connect. It's to be willing to be the answer to another person's prayer, to spring into action, to comfort, encourage, and help people, to just say, well, my thoughts and prayers are with you, and then forget about those people, it's going to fizzle out. Okay, I'm getting all fired up here, so I'm going to move on. Connecting to God. Psalm 145 says this, the Lord is near to all who call on him. Sorry for the patriarchal language in the Bible. It was written in patriarchal, okay? God is near, the Lord is near to all who call on her, who all call on them. Choose your pronoun, God's far beyond pronouns. But the point is this, prayer is not just a conversation with God, it is an experience of God. An encounter. Sent me an email and a quote about prayer. I don't even know who wrote this, I forgot. I just kept it on my phone. And it says this, voicing our troubles in prayer isn't about giving God information. God already knows. It's about in our lives. So God's love can flow through the cracks and bring healing. Did you catch that? There it is again, prayer and presence, the presence of God. They go together. Or how about this? I was reading this in a book I just finished. It was remarkable. And the author shares actually on his blog or about an experience he had in prayer. The other day I began to pray, and I had a mystical experience. I say experience because it was part sensation and part vision in my mind. In the vision, I was falling because I had tripped and felt the sensation in my body of falling. And in the vision, I instinctively reached out my hand, as you do, to catch and steady myself. I needed to make contact immediately with a chair back or a wall or a handrail. Contact with anything sturdy to grasp a hold of something more solid than myself. That was the vision sensation. It was a flash of feeling and seeing, falling, panic, and urgent need to reach out, extending my hand, making contact, and then feeling relief. And then the coda, a voice that said to me quite clearly, "This is prayer." And I went, "Oh, that's perfect." There it is again, prayer and God's presence, us reaching out verbally, sharing our heart and our needs with God, and finally reaching out and grabbing a hold of something that's more solid. Henry David Thoreau wrote this, "It's not about what you look at, it's about what you see." And I love that, because to look at something usually means you're at a distance from it. You look at the moon, you look at snow-capped mountains, or to look at the barrier, there's a distance there. But seeing is different. To see something requires a proximity. You see your child the best when you hold your child in your arms. You see a flower when you bend over to smell. Hey, can I see that? And what do we really mean? Can I touch that? That's what we mean, right? We want to grab hold of whatever it is we want to look at, because that's what seeing really is. And that's the same in prayer. When we pray for someone, we see them. God sees them. And we experience this connection with them, this spiritual connection that brings us close enough that we're actually close enough to want to help them. When we pray to God, we see God, not physically, but we notice the nearness of God. We become aware of God, and He's close enough to our life and bring healing. He's close enough to grab a hold of and sturdy ourselves. There's that connection with God. God's that close. There is so much about prayer I don't understand. I have so many questions, and my prayer life probably isn't what it should be. And I know that when one of you says, "Tim, I'm praying for you," I know that matters too. So I keep praying despite my questions. And I think that's why Jesus starts this whole section by saying, "When you pray." He doesn't say, "Well, if you," when you pray. He also says, "When you fast," but that's a whole other topic. We'll get to that later. I'm gonna bring up Caitlin now, and she's gonna close this message with point number 3. If you don't know Caitlin, oh, she needs a mic. Where's the mic? No, you're people. It's one of those days. My wife broke the tongs. She couldn't even hand the communion stuff to people. It's just that kind of a day. So, oh, we got a mic for you over here. There we go. Chelsea to the rescue. No, I can do this. Testing. No, wait.